Log Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. Thank you for your continued support and spreading the word about ThinkBigRadio.com. All right, guys, I have a great guest on here tonight, Mitchell Levy, www.ahathat.com. This gentleman is going to help you all with everything that he knows so that you will be able to expand your horizons, not only in the digital, but as well as the print field. Mitchell, are you there?
I am here. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, it was an honor for you to take time out of your day to come on our show and enlighten us. But before we get started, let's just make sure that all of our listeners know how to reach you. So please put out that contact information.
You know, I think the best way, go to ahathat.com. We'll talk about that during the show. And my contact information is there. Or feel free to Google Mitchell Levy. Connect to me on LinkedIn, Facebook if you want to. Let me know who you are and why. Twitter, you know, any social media platform that I'm on, feel free to connect to me, and I'm happy to connect back. And say I was on your show, the Think Big Radio show, and I'll give you attribution for that.
All right, great. So, Mitchell, why don't you start off by just telling us a little bit about yourself, you know, your past. Did you come from a big family, small family? What was it like growing up being you?
Let's see. I grew up on the East Coast, currently live in California, so I'm in Silicon Valley, about 2 miles out of the new spaceship that Apple is building in Cupertino. I grew up on the East Coast, and we were actually poor, single mom with three kids, and mom did a great job of sort of letting the world or letting us know that we could do whatever we want to do in the world. And so loving, caring, single parent, and she's now married, and her husband now has been her husband for a number of years, and he is now dad to me, and so he's a great guy, and I'm just so happy for both of them.
You know, I'm glad that you brought up something that's near and dear to heart to me here, and I didn't know this before you came on the show, but you said something that I think a lot of parents should do is, you know, encourage their children that it's not about where you're at right now, but what you can actually become. And put that positive thoughts in your head. I want to give her some kudos for that and helping you become part of the person you are today.
Oh, it's actually amazing if you think about it, because academic institutions starting in elementary school and high school, college is a little bit better. Their job is to put you in a box and to basically stifle your creativity, because you need to sit and answer questions to a test that at this moment that those answers are available within seconds by going to Google and asking the question. And so we need to think about the world in a different way and do things in a much different way than we've had to do in the past. And the world and academia has not caught up with that. So having a parent who said, hey, you could be whoever you want to be and you could do what you want to do and not stifling the creativity that that typically a child has, those are the best gifts you can give to your children. Wow. I've done it with mine, and clearly my mom did that with me.
That's beautiful. And so leading from that, when did you kind of realize what you are passionate about and how you wanted to begin helping others with that passion?
It's a great question, because you ask it in a slightly different way than many others. And it's really hard to put my fingers on that. Let me Let me say that the last time I actually worked for a corporation was 1997. So at the time, I was working for Sun Microsystems, running the e-commerce component of Sun Supply Chain. And that's when I left to start my own businesses and haven't looked back. And I'd say when I reflect back of the work that I would do at in corporations, and I was at a number of companies in Boston and then Silicon Valley, when I think about what I was doing there, I did a couple things. The goal was to try to be an intermediary between two groups of people. So I often would be the intermediary between, quote unquote, a user group and the IT area. And what I'd often try to get people to figure out is what is the light bulb? How do we make that come on? And when I started doing consulting work, starting in 97 during the dot-com days, what I would often do, what I did as an e-commerce consultant during the dot-com days is help companies figure out how they're going to use the internet for e-commerce. And I know that sounds funny today, but at the time, that was not that. As a matter of fact, there were many companies who said they would never use the internet for e-commerce, and obviously they've changed their minds. Yes, I know, no kidding. So my job was to help people have the light bulbs come on, to figure out where their framework was, to figure out how to think about life differently. And I think as I'm sitting back and thinking about where my biggest learning came from and how I can now put everything in perspective. It was so funny. I don't think I got my first mentor till I was in my 30s. And just as an aside, whoever you are, no matter where you are in life, you should be a mentor to somebody and also be a mentee of somebody. There's just no better way to communicate and have somebody to help you. So I actually went to I got a mentor, and I basically went to – it was, I think, my boss's boss, and my question to him was, I don't think I want to work here for the rest of my life, but I don't know exactly how I find out what it is I need to do next. And he gave me a framework. And that framework I then worked on, and it helped me completely transform who I am, and it's a basis for what I do today. And what I realized – as part of what I would do when I help people turn their light bulbs on, in terms of helping people think big, just thinking about this radio show, the best thing you could do for anyone is give them a framework. My mom's framework was, hey, you could do whatever you want. This guy's framework is, here are the things you could do to start thinking about where you want to go and how to get there. The frameworks I give to other people are in the old days, how do you use e-commerce? In today's world, the framework I like to share with people is how can you quickly create a book, and we create books in 8 hours or less, and more importantly, it's not about the book. How can you use that to close business and be successful at what you do? And so I think it turns out that helping people understand a framework in which they can then make their lives better is something that I was given to me as a gift somewhere in my 30s, and now I do my best to try to encourage other people to do that to others.
Now, I'm glad that you brought up about the book area early in the interview, because being a big thinker and interviewing different big thinkers across the country, you know, I run into people every day who says, I've got to get that book out. I've got to get that book out. Now, some people write just purely for their pleasure. They may not have another idea or a product. But I like how, you know, talking with you before the show, how you explain with what your company does, that how it maximizes that book and puts it on a different type of platform. So I'd like for you to kind of share with us how, whereas some people may take 6 months, a year to write a book, how you guys can help anyone write a book in about 8 hours. And I think it might cover a little bit about what you were telling me about framework, because I believe that if you have a frame to work with and it's an ABC type of style, you will be more successful than just kind of going – right, left, number 9 and number 3. So just kind of expand a little bit about the writing of the book in the 8 hours and how yours is kind of different from how other people may think about writing books.
Oh, we're significantly different. But Ken, it's got to start with, actually, I am going to tie it together. Let's start with a framework. And let me say, when I'm standing in front of a group of consultants and I'm talking to them about what is a book and how it works and what they do with books and blah, blah, blah. And then I ask them to imagine. So I'll share with them the Aha That platform, and I'll do that with you as well in the audience.
Okay.
But then I say, imagine you, just believe me for a second, imagine you could snap your fingers and have your book written in 8 hours. And I'll say, well, what do you write your book on? And I give three choices. So let me give you the three choices, and you could decide if you want to answer yourself or if you want me just to give you the answers I typically hear. So if you could write a book in 8 hours or any time you're going to write a book, do you write your book on, one, what you're an expert in today? Do you write your book on, two, what you get paid to do today? Or three, do you write your book on what you get paid to do tomorrow? All right, so these are three choices, what you're an expert in today, what you get paid to do today, or what you get paid to do tomorrow. Do you want to offer up an answer, or do you want me just to tell you what I often hear?
Well, what I would say, thinking about all of the three choices, is that they all seem a bit relevant, and I think that it would have – I would probably want to use a portion of each, but the main thing that I would focus on would be my expertise in a particular area.
So what I'll say to you, Ken, is that you are absolutely – in the majority of people who answer that question.
Okay.
Typically, 80% of the people who answer the question is they'll write a book on what they're an expert in today. Probably about 15% answer the question of what they get paid to do today. And if you want to listen to my words, the enlightened 5% say what they get paid to do tomorrow.
Okay.
So let me tell you what I mean by that. So to me, the answer, if you could write a book in 8 hours, you write a book on what you get paid to do tomorrow. And based on your answer, if all three are the same, you're living in Nevada, right? If you're an expert in something and you get paid to do it today and you get paid to do it tomorrow, you're a happy man. You're doing – or a happy woman or a happy person, right? You're doing the stuff you love to do and you're getting paid for it.
Okay.
Let me give an answer why I don't believe it's just what you're an expert in.
Okay.
At some time in life, if you have aging parents, let's say you get married, you have a home, and you have aging parents, and at some point in time, maybe one of your parents ends up getting Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, and you invite them to live with you, and then you start taking care of your parents, so you become the caretaker of somebody who's super close to you, and you become a expert in dealing with elderly people because they're your family and you figure out how to do it,
right.
who have Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or whatever debilitating disease. So you're now an expert in this area, and so when people have expertise, they want to write about it. So what I'm going to say is, let's say you write your book on Parkinson's and how to deal with older people that have Parkinson's. The question is, after the book is written, what are you going to do with it? Do you actually want to create a healthcare facility where you're taking care of other people who have Parkinson's? Do you want to go around the country speaking on it and getting paid to do that? Is there some product or service you're offering? And if none of that is true, if what you're doing is just writing because you're an expert and you're hoping that people buy your book, it is really not a good use of your time.
Okay.
A book is a quintessential element of something that you're going to use to establish yourself as an expert. The best thing you could do is take a look at the people who you want to work with tomorrow. Take a look at what their pain point is. And if you know who your clients are or who your prospects are and you know what pain they have, you write a book that addresses that pain. And if you could write that book in 8 hours, now, guess what? When you hand out your business card or you say what you do, you could say, I'm the author of a book on this topic. Is that something that's interesting to you? Or they're going to say to you, really? We have that problem. And guess what? They're going to hire you to help them be successful, because guess what? You were the expert. You wrote the book on the topic. So that's really the reason for focusing on what it is you want to get paid to do tomorrow, because it is the book. And ever since the publishing of the Bible, a book has been the quintessential element of demonstration of thought leadership, of expertise. And so if you have a book on the topic, hey, we should hire this person. He wrote the book on the topic.
Right.
So let's talk about how you can do a book in 8 hours. We have in today's world, and what I often say, if you go to ahavat.com, what I'll often say is we have solved the author's dilemma. And typically the author's dilemma is threefold. One, how do you write your book quickly? So I'll tell you how you can write a book in 8 hours or less. And we've had 300 authors write their books in 8 hours or less. Two, how do you make sure once you write your book that it's shared, at least shared socially, if not shared physically? And so what I'll have to tell you is that our books are the initial format of our book is a social media enabled ebook. And so that ebook is shared socially on the various social media platforms. And the third part of the author's dilemma is, how do you use a book to close business? Well, if you think about the framework I just gave you, if you write a book that really is addressing the pain of the clients you're going after, how you use it to close business, you tell your prospects that you wrote a book on this topic and people want to hear about it. And whether or not you tell them on social media, or you have webinars, or tell them in person, or knock on doors, or send them copies of your books. I mean, some of the authors who have made the most money and have significantly increased who they are as consultants have printed and had us print a large quantity of books. So my favorite example, we had an author who she had us print 600 copies of her book. She had 300 FedEx and USPS envelopes stamped, ready to go. She had a personalized note inside each envelope. And she, when the book was actually done and printed and shipped to her, she stuffed the envelope, sent them out. She started getting calls within a week or two. She started doing follow-up calls in 2 to 3 weeks. And after 6 months, she increased her consulting revenue by 600%, by six times. Why? Because the people she sent the book to recognized her as the expert in the space, and they ultimately hired her.
And I think
and that's
even
how
just
people
being able
use
to,
books there.
Yeah, and even just
no,
being
go ahead,
able
I'm
to
sorry.
Share, I'm thinking even just being able to share those books, because I know every now and then I'll get a great book, and after I read it or while I'm reading it, one of the first things that I want to do is share it with someone.
Yeah, so let me tell you what we've defined, or actually, in this case, I'm not going to use the we. I've defined a book differently than other people have. And the reason I'll give you a background for this is we currently live in, and this is, if you think about it, our books are comprised of aha moments, aha messages. And so I'm going to give you my favorite. We live in a 7-second soundbite economy, so make it count. So if you live in a 7-second soundbite economy, how do you capture people's attention quickly? By the way, once you hear that, it's going to be hard to unhear that Mitchell Levy said that.
Right.
The question you have to say to yourself is, what is your aha message? What is your aha moment? And what we call a aha book is comprised of 140 bite-sized quotes, 140, or better way to think about it, 140 7-second sound bites, any one of which is an
Mitchell
back out of
cool part a little bit.
Ah, Mitchell. Okay. Sorry about. Yep. I'll switch to. Thank you.
Okay. So if you could just follow
okay.
back up with the 7-second sound bites, 140 different, I believe you were saying, and it started breaking up.
Oh yeah. Sorry about that. Not sure how that happened or why. Nothing's changed. So if you think about a 7-second soundbite and an aha book being 140 aha messages, essentially you've got 147 second sound bites, any one of which is enough to capture your prospect's attention, right? Because that's really what we're looking for. We're looking to be the author of the book to capture somebody's attention. I don't care, and most of our authors don't care either, whether or not their clients or prospects read the entire book. What they care about is that they've read enough or have seen enough that they want to hire that person. So if you go to ahathat.com, as a matter of fact, I'll give you the URL for the book. This was, Ken, you'll like this. When I started telling people they should write aha books, they would look at me and say, Mitchell, where's your book on why we should write an aha book? And that was, by the way, that was my aha moment. I was like, oh, yeah, of course. And so what I did instead of sitting down and writing one, what I did instead is I actually asked four of my authors if I could interview them on what writing an aha book is and why they wrote an aha book and what it did for them. So I conducted four interviews with my authors. And so we have an aha book. I'll give you a URL to that in a moment. We have an aha book where 80% of the content is spoken by the, in this case, it's written down, it's is by the authors. So when we're talking about what makes sense and why and how it's changed their lives, this is not just Mitchell Levy talking, but the authors who have already actively created their aha books talking. And so if you go to the aha, the URL, aha.pub, aha.pub/aha. So it's aha.pub/aha. It will bring you to the Aha That platform, and it will specifically bring you to the platform and give you access to the book that I wrote on why one should write an aha book. And what's fascinating is when you're looking at, typically if you do it from a computer, you're looking at three pages of an aha book, basically three aha messages. And underneath any one of those messages, you can click on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, and immediately share that content. And that's the power of the platform, is that you're taking content that is digestible, consumable, and shareable to not just your audience, but we now have close to 700,000 users, and they're looking for content to share as well. So once you publish content on the platform, there are other users who are looking for potentially your content to share to their networks, which basically exposes you to the people they know. And that makes it that much more powerful.
Now, Mitchell, before we go further, let's do two things. One, I want you to make sure that everyone hears your contact information, how to reach you, and then we've got some callers that have been on for a little bit over 15 minutes, so I'm going to have them ask a couple of questions for those who want to. So how do we get in touch with you again? What's the best way?
Well, the absolute best way to do this, if you go to ahathat.com, ahathat.com/author, that's where we list the 8-step authoring process. And as part of that process, there's an email address that you submit some of your initial steps to. And Ken, at some point in time, if you want me to talk about the process, I can do that pretty quickly. But that email address, if you just say you heard me talk, that email address will get to me, or my people will make sure I get to see it. And that's the best way to is to reach out. Particularly if you can imagine, if I'm pushing this platform and I want people to write their books, if you say, hey, I heard you at the Think Big radio show, I'm starting to write my book and I want some feedback and advice, man, am I going to listen to that.
Okay. All right. Okay, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go in the order of who's listened the longest. So caller from the 704-756 area code, if you have a question or comment, you can do so. But first, just tell us your name and where you're from if you have a comment or a question. 704-756, you're on the air. Okay, sometimes it takes a moment for them to hear us. Sometimes they just want to listen in. So 704-756, I'm going to go on to the next caller. All right, so 704-615. That's 704 area code, 615 is the first three numbers. Just give us a little information about your name and where you're from, and if you have a comment or question, you can go ahead. You're on the air. 704-615.
These are tough questions.
Okay. I've got one more I'm going to try, and the other two I'm going to save for a while. And for those of you who are or have been listening for a while, if you have a question or a comment, if you press the 1 on your phone, your hand will raise. Sometimes you guys know that, sometimes you don't. So 931 area code with 320 is the first couple of numbers. So that's a 931 area code, 320. You're on the air. If you could state your name, where you're from, and then you have a question, you can do that right now.
Okay. Hey, great, great. Ken, can you hear me?
Oh, yes, sir, I can hear you. What's your name and where are you from?
Okay, my name is Sean Carrington, and I'm currently in Charlotte, North Carolina.
All right, great. Did you have a question for Mr. Levy here of
ahalot.com? Yes, actually. One question I would ask. Well, first let me say I appreciate you taking the time to share the information with us. I appreciate that. One question I would like to ask is, once you have that aha moment, what will be the first step in starting the process as far as moving towards, completing the book or starting the book?
That's a leading question. I will be happy to answer that question, but you have something more difficult, because that's an easy one for me. But
that's
the reason it's an easy one, it's part of my 8-step process. I'm going to tell you about the first three steps. And if you want, I could do that with you now, unless you have something else that you want to ask.
No, that'll probably be it. That'll be it.
Okay.
I'm
sorry. Do you want to keep Sean on the line while I answer
him off? Sean, I'm just going to mute you just in case you have any background noise come through. And then after he's answered the question, I'll bring you back on. For a follow-up question or comment. So I'm going to mute you, and Mitchell, carry on.
And by the way, I certainly didn't mean to belittle you by that question. It's a phenomenal question, so thanks for asking it. We have an 8-step process, and that's at the ahathat.com/author. And what I want to do, I'm going to tell you just about steps 1, 2, and 3. And first, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with step number 2. Step number 2 is simple. Because I have written or curated 50,000, actually over 50,000 aha messages. And so step number 2 is a single page PDF on how to write a good, compelling aha message. And so, there's no email address to get. There's no price to get. If you go to ahathat.com/author, look at step number 2, click on the button, and you'll see the PDF, like I said, one page, and it'll give you just the best practices of writing a good aha message, or a better way to think about it, a best practice of writing content for social media. Now, step number 1 is a Word document. Or if you don't use Word, it's a Google Doc. And in that Word document, we have 4 questions. And it's very obvious questions like your name and your bio. What's the title of your book? What's a 1-paragraph summary of the book? The most important question, which we make question number 1, is, who is your audience and how will they benefit from reading your book? Now, if you remember the framework I gave before, a better way to ask that question, that's the question that we care about. Who is your audience and how will they benefit from the book? But a better way to think about it is, who are your prospects and what are their pain points? So if you know who your clients are that you're going after, your prospects, and you write their pain points, and that is the audience, what this book is focused on, it'll be very easy for you to then do the right things with your book once it's done. So that's the Word document. And then the step number 3 is an Excel spreadsheet. Once again, it could be a Google Doc if you're not using Microsoft products. And in the Excel spreadsheet, we basically, an AHA book is 140 quotes, or 140 aha messages, which are 140 characters or less. So the Excel spreadsheet keeps track of the character count. Now, something I hadn't mentioned yet, Ken, which I think you'll love, is when you have an aha message, you can also incorporate URLs. So if you have something that's super compelling and you, but it doesn't tell the complete story, you want more to be able to reference to it, that URL can point to a video, you know, SlideShare or a slide presentation on SlideShare or a video on YouTube or Vimeo, or you can point to top of the funnel content. So maybe some lead candy you have at top of funnel. So basically you can include URLs in your aha messages that will then have more interaction once your content starts getting shared socially. And I think that's kind of the compelling part too, because you now, as a business owner, you're writing content that gets to be shared socially, which, by the way, one of the biggest problems small businesses have today is they hire a third-party individual to write their social media content, which isn't exactly what they want. Well, if you write your own aha book, guess what? You've also written 1 to 2 quarters of social media content. I mean, it's pretty powerful in terms of your ability to be able to do that. But that answers the question. Really, follow the steps that's at the URL, ahathat.com/author.
Great. And, you know, and I think that a good follow-up is once the people want to really find out those other steps is to go to your website and then contact you, of course, making sure that they mention thinkbigradio.com as far as where they've heard you from, so that you will be able to, you know, discuss the things that they need to move forward. Sean, I'm going to bring you back on the line to, you know, see if you had a comment or another question real quick here. And, Sean, you're on the line.
Okay. No further comment. Actually, he cleared up pretty much everything I needed to know as far as that first step. So I appreciate that.
All right, great.
Oh, my pleasure.
So,
Sean, if you just say you heard me here, I'll look forward to seeing what the book is that you want to write.
Okay. All right, will do.
So we're going to look at 770-262, 770-262. You heard how easy Sean made it. Just going to tell us your name, tell us what city you're calling from, and if you have a question or a comment, you are live on the air right now.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Susan Dean. I'm calling from Fayetteville, Georgia, and I would like to tell both of you that it has been a pleasure hearing this radio program this evening. Mr. Levy, the information that you've provided has been very, very helpful to me, and I will make sure that I go to your website tomorrow to obtain more information so that I can move forward with my book. So thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, great. Thank you, Susan.
Absolutely honored by your comments. Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Susan, is there
I've got one more.
I'm sorry, you have more people. Sorry. I'll let you go.
I'm going to drive.
I'll...
I know we have only a certain amount of time, so... 704-652. That's 704-652. Real simple. Your name, where you're calling from. If you have a question or a comment, you're on the air live right now. 704-652. Okay, it appears our 704-652 just wants to listen. And, share that information one more time for the people who may be listening online as opposed to on the phone here, because we do have the online at www.thinkbigradio.com/aha-that where they're able to listen, as well as the phone number that we provide where they can press the number 1 if they have a question. So how will they get in touch with you one last time and then we'll move forward?
Oh, absolutely. So
like I said, the best way, ahathat.com. And by the way, if you go to the website, there are currently 38,000 quotes that you can get access to for free and share on social media today.
Wow.
But if you go to ahathat.com/author, that's where you'll see the 8-step process. And one of them is the submission form where you're submitting your content. And just mention, you know, think big, and that's when you'll get a hold of me, because my team will make sure I get that message.
Okay, good. So one of the things that we've been talking about here is about it being a social media enabled book. And I know sometimes a lot of people may have not just a Facebook, but they have a Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, all these different platforms, and I'm sure your content can really post all of those at one time. But how can you be effective if you just really say, you know, I've got 5 minutes a day to do this? What strategies would you share with our listeners to make that happen?
Oh, that's a great question. Ken, if you could save just enough time at the end, I want to make sure that people recognize that we can not just create a social media-enabled ebook, but we could also turn that into Kindle, PDF, paperback, and hardcover, and potentially even some of the stories of people who have been successful with that. But let's talk about how do you do social media in 5 minutes a day? And what I'd like you to think about is these two words, social media. And instead of putting the two words together, let's put double quotes up in the air, and we'll say double quotes around the world social, and then we'll do a little plus sign, and we'll do double quotes around the world media. Now, here's what's interesting. Most people hear the word social media, and they ignore the first part, and they just think media. And they go, oh, I now have the ability to talk about me. And what they do is they go online, and they say me, me, me. And guess what happens? The person on the other line who actually sees that runs away really fast because, you know, if you're selling a product or when you walk into the supermarket, what would happen if you get deluged by the people in the store that says, buy my stuff, go here, do that. You're going to go to a different supermarket, right? So what we should be thinking about is the first word. Social media is about being social. So if you only had 5 minutes a day to dedicate to social media, here's what I'd suggest. First, go to whatever platform you think your prospects are going to be at and spend 1 minute. So you share, you know, if it's Facebook or LinkedIn, you know, for the business folks, or Twitter, share one quote or two quotes or three quotes, depending on the platform. You know, LinkedIn, it'd be probably one, Twitter, it'd be two or three, Facebook, it'd be one. So share a quote, share good, compelling content, and then go away. And then you can go away for a couple hours and then come back. Spend the other 4 minutes interacting with the people who touched that quote. They either liked it, shared it, commented on it, and make sure you comment back to them. Sorry, got tongue-tied for a second. So what's fascinating is share good stuff, and then if somebody touches it, figure out who they are and touch them back. And that's the social piece of it. One of the benefits, if you decide to share content from the AhaThat platform, as I mentioned, it's free to use, free to share. If you're sharing content from there, what happens is we incorporate on every AhaThat message the Twitter handle of the author. And so when you're sharing somebody's content, not only is your audience being seen good, compelling content, not only are you giving attribution to the author, but anyone who's following the author's area, so they have large connections, large networks, they're also being notified that you're sharing their content. And so it could be anyone from the author's networks who are commenting on what you share. It could be somebody you should be social with, and maybe that turns into something else. So that's how you can be effective in 5 minutes a day using social media.
And that makes a lot of sense instead of just, you know, hanging around on it all day, especially if you're an entrepreneur. There's a lot of different things that you want to be doing to make sure your business is the foundation, at least, is up to par. That's a great a great insight. Now, I know we have a few good minutes left, and so let's talk about and see how much time we have left for anyone who may want to ask another question about how you can make those physical and e-books part of that thought leadership, which most of your authors are becoming thought leaders.
You want to know the absolute most significant, best business card you could possibly give somebody? It's a hardcover book that is so compelling and so easy to read that they crack it open, and if they spent the first 30 seconds, they're going to go, oh, my God, this person's great. And if they, and by the way, as an AHA book, takes about 10 minutes to read. If we turn an AHA book into a hardcover book, takes about 10 minutes to read. So if somebody gives you the pleasure of the 10 minutes, they're going to be blown away with your brilliance because it's 140 AHA messages. Any one of those can capture somebody's attention. That said, what you're really looking at, and by the way, when we do print now, what we've been doing is we've been printing our paperback and hardcover books in color. So it's that much more compelling. So if somebody gets your book, and remember, so this is a framework to think about. It would be nice if your book sells a ton of copies and you make money from book sales, but that's not where you should expect to be making money. If you do, by the way, the author owns 100% copyright, and the author gets 51% of profit on book sales. So that's the model we have in place. Okay. What you should be thinking about, though, is how many people can you take your book and put in their hands who may want to hire you or buy your product or use your service?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real benefit of having the physical books. It is the word tchotchke. You go to a conference and you end up with all this stuff that ends up going in the circular file when you get home. People do not throw out books. So if you wrote a book that took you 8 hours to write and you decide to turn it into a physical book and give it away, then the real benefit is those that you're giving it to are people who are going to put it on their desk and may one day hire you. And that's super powerful.
Yeah, and I like the concept how you can say, you know what, some things you want to give away. It's not about trying to squeeze every cent out of everything you do, because you have to think about people will read that and they'll contact you. You know, and many people put the money first all the time. One of the books that I like was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and he talked about how he had to do a lot of things for free in order to get to the place that he is. And I'm sure that when you did all of this, that you had to do a lot before you actually was able to say, now, you know, I'm reaping, you know, all of those rewards that I've sold.
I think we all have to put in our time and do the right thing. And what I have to say to you is I still do that every day, because there's a part of, there are elements that can, of what you do today, where you can reap the benefit of the success you have. And then there are elements of you're a smart business person that's constantly changing, constantly morphing. I'll bet you when you take a look at Sears, or let's start with Blockbuster, you did not expect Netflix. When you start out at Borders, you did not expect Amazon. When you think about Sears, you did not expect Amazon. I mean, if you're not constantly changing and growing and trying new things, and that's why, by the way, I love the AHA That platform, because let's say you're in a market and it's a particular vertical that people love and they love you for it. Well, if it only takes you 8 hours to write a book to another market, it's very easy for you to then start test driving if that other market's going to work for you. And you should be doing lots. The book in this case is just a vehicle that's opening up the door to help demonstrate your expertise in that area. What you should be doing is constantly figuring out, in the old dot-com days, we used to call it eating your own dog food, right? If you've got a profitable business and you're making money, it's really hard for companies to say, you know what, if our competitors are coming along and charging less, what are we going to do to make that happen as well? And that's what you've got to kind of, so to answer your question, yeah, it's great. I'm having fun at what I'm doing, but I'm also continually experimenting in new areas to try to find new and exciting ways that those that are writing books are using them to drive success for themselves.
Well, I think that that is probably one of the strongest points that we can end with here tonight. And, of course, we want you to get your website out again, anybody that you'd like to thank. And then we're going to be closing out, Mitchell. And I first want to say that I really do appreciate you taking the time out your day. I'm glad you guys found us just through, you know, your internet searches, because we, of course, make sure that we're marketing all of the time, thinkbigradio.com. And so one more time, I know you've said it a few times already.
Oh, no problem. I'm happy to do it. By the way, I love Think Big, given that my primary company is called Think Aha. You know, the platform is called Aha That, right? So very cool stuff. So please go to ahathat.com. It's free to use, free to share. Sign up for an account and be able to start sharing content. If you want to write a book, ahathat.com/author. And the people I want to thank, I'm going to leave with one last thought. I have a movement. The movement I want to make is I want 10,000 people to be making a living or augmenting their living by using Aha That and finding good, compelling, creative ways to help their clients be more successful. And so if you have ideas and thoughts on how to do that, I would absolutely love to have you be part of the team and or to do things in a way that are new and unique. We have a very healthy affiliate program, and we will do our best to help you be as successful as possible. And those are the people that I want to thank, those that are figuring out how to use this platform to help accelerate their business, i.e. how can they use this stuff to help their clients be more successful. And we have some great stories, and I just love working with people who are helping to change the world. And that's what I like to do, and that's what we're doing here.
Well, you definitely can believe that this interview will be played as one for the ages, and you'll have a lot of different people, including me, coming through your product to make some positive content. And really like to say thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing your expertise. I wish we had a lot more time, but, you know, sometimes it's not the amount of time, but it's about the quality that you put into the time. And I do think that you've given us some quality content here tonight.
Oh, Ken, absolutely my pleasure. And I'll just throw it right back at you. It is always good to run across a host who does the research ahead of time, that does the right follow-through, that makes sure that their guests are prepared and ready to go and produces the best possible content for your audience. And so I'll just say thank you for taking that little extra time to do what that many people don't do in this space, just to do it right, and it's noticeable, and thank you.
Oh, great, great. Well, once again, we also like to thank all of our listeners who continue to support us here at thinkbigradio.com. I'm Ken Blake, your host tonight with the Must Listen to Get series. Must Listen to Get, Mastering Understanding States Training Leads into Success That Everyone Needs. This offers growth, enlightenment, transcendence. Mitchell Levy helped us a little bit more along the route with that today. And as always, continue to think big.
You're listening to thinkbigradio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.